It's given me the mindset of being able to notice when those are happening. Notice that these are like impermanent states of heightened emotion and being able to kind of either sit with them or let them calm down. It's given me the ability to know my mind and myself more, and through that, work through all the challenging moments that come with just being alive. It's been a very positive thing, having meditation. It's a practice that I try to do daily. And I mean, it's the sort of thing that I would recommend to everyone.
Welcome to Everything is Clinical, a podcast for mental health clinicians. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Jackie Dunnigan, a licensed marriage and family therapist. I'm also an AAMFT approved supervisor, and I do believe that when it comes to the therapy room, everything is clinical. I hope you get as much value out of listening to these discussions with various seasoned professionals as I did in having them. Macalino is with us today to discuss how virtual reality can be used as a therapy aid. Matt is the founder and CEO of ZenVR, and he has almost 10 years of meditation teaching experience. And Matt, I'm really excited to have you here today to be talking about this. I think it's such a cool thing and something that I think so many therapists can incorporate into their work and use with clients. Can you just tell us a little bit about you and about ZenVR?
Well, first, thanks for having me, Jackie. It's great to be here. About myself, I came out of Georgia Tech. I did my undergrad there in computer engineering and my master's in human-computer interaction. And ZenVR, at its core, was born out of my master's thesis research, basically trying to answer the question of, hey, can you use virtual reality to teach people meditation as if they were learning from a real teacher in a real classroom setting? We did a whole bunch of research with meditation teachers, counselors, therapists, even yoga teachers, pretty much anyone that is teaching this skill, to understand how it is taught. And we also did research with learners, novices and experienced meditators, understanding, well, how people learn, what their stumbling points are, what they struggle with. And we put together a curriculum, a virtual environment, a virtual teacher, and a series of lessons, and ran a 6-week study with those. We saw in that longitudinal study that there were significant improvements in people's mental health across a number of standardized metrics. We saw qualitatively people were enjoying it and reporting back, learning meditation. And I think two really cool factors for us was people were meditating between the virtual sessions and just on their own in their regular life. And then after the study ended, they kept meditating, showing kind of a resiliency to the training that they got. So all that together was the master's thesis work. And we said, hey, this is something that could die in academia like, you know, many other projects do, or we can actually help people and bring this out into the world. And we've been building it as a system for teaching meditation for therapists and counselors and mental health professionals to use with their clients and in their practice.
I think that's awesome. I'm curious, what made you think to associate this with mental health?
That's a deep question. At the end of the day, it's my personal experience with it all, right? It's no secret Georgia Tech's a challenging technical school, and during my undergrad there, mental health was something you have to learn to manage. I'll say, you know, I definitely had some rougher semesters. And at one point I went to the Georgia Tech Counseling Center and they were like, oh yeah, we can make an appointment for you in, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, by which point the semester would have long been over and all the stressful stuff would have been passed. That wasn't a viable solution. And I started looking into other ways of just managing mental health on my own. And I found meditation, started learning from books and YouTube videos, and got like a decent practice going on my own. But it wasn't actually until like after graduating from Georgia Tech that I found a local Buddhist monastery, started taking classes there with real teachers, and realized, oh, wow, there's a lot of depth to this. A lot of depth that most people don't ever have the opportunity to experience if they're only using kind of like random videos and stuff. This is something that can really help people. And if there's a way to kind of marry the two parts of my life here, the technology side and this like meditative mental health side, and do it in a way that we can actually bring that to people and help them, and do something different than what's been done before, and that'd be a fantastic thing to do.
I think it's a great idea, because mindfulness practices, they're at the core of so many clinical interventions. So if you're talking mindfulness as your model, or DBT, even CBT, you know, and I do a lot of couples work, and that emotional regulation, one of the first things we work on is breathing and learning to regulate your body and bring things down a little bit. That's a really key piece to it. I think it's really an interesting concept because I do think guided meditation is so much easier than trying to practice on your own.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, Matt, I downloaded the consumer version on my Oculus. I went ahead and I was like, I'm going to try this out. You did a great job. I had tried another meditation app. It was flat. I mean, it was really just nice music and a nice atmosphere. But yours really goes through and it even asked the questions in there about what I wanted to get out of the meditation practice and really kind of walking you through things. So I was really impressed by it. I thought it was really cool.
If I can comment on that, you know, we looked at, and part of the initial design, we looked at what is out there and we realized that most experiences are very surface level. It's not too terribly hard to get someone to relax, especially using virtual reality. If you put them in a pretty spot and you play some music for them or talk to them and give them some light guidance, you can get people to relax, but there's no lasting impact to that. You're not learning, you're not gaining anything from that. Our philosophy in every part of Zen VR from the beginning has been, we want to teach people skills that they can use outside. So each lesson in Zen VR, it's a curriculum of classes that build on each other. And each lesson has a technique that's taught, a chance to practice that technique, and then kind of a philosophy talk to incorporate that into your everyday life. It's not just relax now. It's how do I learn something and then apply that outside? And for us, that's what makes us different. And that's why, you know, we consider ourselves a teaching system beyond just like a relaxation tool. It is relaxing, but it's also you're learning and you're gaining from it.
How do you see therapists in a private practice using your product?
Yeah, there's a couple main ways that the therapists we work with deploy Zen VR. We basically say in office or send home. So in office would be, you know, if you have a waiting room or some place where clients come before or can sit after a session with you and you can let them use the VR headset on their own. You can direct them and have all of your clients kind of sharing one headset within your office space. And have them either go through the lessons in order where you say, oh, you should do lesson one or lesson two now and work through that as they go through your regular therapy. Or they can do our quick session mode, which is meant to be kind of like mini practice or refreshers to kind of give bite-sized chunks of that, or a practice mode where you can kind of create your own session. So that's the in-office mode.
Okay.
The send home model is what most therapists get excited about, where it's we get a headset and we send it home with one of our clients specifically, and they're going to be working very focused with this tool in conjunction with their regular therapy for 1 to 2 months, basically, taking a lesson, maybe two lessons, but usually one lesson a week. With this, we have a workbook for the client to go home and fill out. It says, go home, do lesson one of Zen VR meditation. You learn a skill. Immediately do like some review questions to help reinforce that. Do some journaling. Then before your next therapy session, meditate 3 times on your own. This can be in VR. This can be out of VR. And then do another big reflection after that. Come back to your next therapy session with your counselor, whoever. Bring that workbook. Go over your experience learning that content. And we equip our therapists with also questions and guides for, oh, your client went through lesson one. Here's the stuff that they may have experienced, the things you'll want to ask about. So we've created the system as they work through this 8-week curriculum or 8-lesson curriculum. They are scaffolded to have a really successful and transformational experience that it doesn't replace regular therapy, but it augments and supplements it, and it gets people to actually do it at home.
I know that when we talked before, you were explaining to me about some of the interventions, and some of them are straight out of, you know, the DBT workbook. I want to make sure I put that in there for clinicians, because I think you mentioned about the thought clouds and, you know, kind of dealing with uncomfortable thoughts and helping people through that, that there is a lot of clinical backing to what goes into what you're teaching.
100%. I mean, therapists and counselors were who we were working with when we built the original curriculum as well. Just talking about that curriculum at a high level too, you know, some of the stuff that we have in there is, you know, breathing techniques. Every other lesson is teaching a different breathing technique, getting more advanced, starting from just simple 1-2 breath counting to just mindfulness of breath where you've removed all the numbers. And then every other lesson is kind of a more physical or grounded, or we'll say alternative modality of meditation or mindfulness. So things like a body scan or a sensory notation or a compassion contemplation technique, and then working these in with kind of philosophical ideas. And behind this is this question or this design challenge for us of how do we build a virtual experience that amplifies this? Why would I want to do this in VR? You know, put aside the convenience factor even of like, I don't have to go out and find a teacher to teach me this. We do things that even a real teacher can't do. So when we talk about, oh, notice your thoughts like clouds passing through your mind, we bring clouds floating through the classroom. When we talk about not attaching to things that you can't control, and impermanence and non-judgment and stuff, we start a thunderstorm outside. Find me a teacher that can make the weather change on command, and I will be impressed.
I would be impressed too. you know, I think there may be some people who are thinking, well, virtual reality is for games or it's for, you know, whatever they may think about it. It is extremely immersive. And so I think it's something that can really help clinicians to really go a little deeper with their clients. And I think you even mentioned today, but I think we talked about this before, but even using the headset in the office as kind of some pre-work to a session or post-work to a session can be an option, I think, that you mentioned before.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of that in-office deployment. And that's, you know, having someone come into your session where they've already done 15 minutes of just like mindful breathing or calming down or getting into a calm space can make the therapy session more productive as well.
I totally agree with that. So if you were to say, who do you think it really fits best?
I think in terms of like the types of clients that a professional would want to use this with, we see maybe later teenagers through mid-adulthood is kind of the prime age range for this. The younger the audience is, sometimes they get distracted and we, you know, getting them to connect with the philosophical side of it isn't always as easy. But we still get engagement just because they like VR and it's a cool experience that will get them to engage with it even more than like, oh, listen to a meditation, right? Those that are most resonant with it are like the 20s and 30s where the technology isn't a barrier. They understand how to interface with new tech. They're willing to learn. They come to therapy because they want to improve their mental health. They want to learn. They're hungry for this sort of thing. Those are going to be the clients that you'll see like the absolute most measures of success with. But even beyond that, like, you know, the older generation still tends to enjoy it and finds it like really relaxing. I know we actually are releasing a new boat rowing meditation. I've run that with a few different age groups, and I'll say like my parents and their peers and stuff tend to be the ones that really love this like relaxing rowing a boat over like a pool of water, basically.
So yeah, some different things work for different people, sure. And you have a consumer version, right? And a professional version, is that right?
That's correct. So the consumer version, if you have your own headset, you can use that. You know, for therapists, you want to get the full workbook. You want to get the support of working with the ZenVR team and being able to deploy that and all the materials that go alongside. That's the professional version.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Any tips or tricks that you would put out there for clinicians if they were going to incorporate it into their work?
I would say when the therapist engages and really brings it to the client and brings the energy around this, the client is going to reciprocate that as well. The counter to that, right? The other version of this is the what we often see before therapists start using ZenVR is they'll recommend to a client, oh, you should start meditating, but they don't have anything to go with that. Or they'll point out a YouTube video. Maybe if they're like really on top of it, they'll have a single worksheet that they can send home with somebody. But the lack of structure and the lack of like firm commitment of you need to do this thing and we're planning to do this together usually just leads to it going nowhere. That's why we built the whole curriculum and the structure for ZenVR to really make it an easy for therapists to deploy, easy for clients to pick up, interesting for them to do, and structured so it's hard for them to fall off the track.
I think that makes sense, you know, and I will tell you as a clinician myself, I have some clients who want homework. The harder clients work outside the session, the more progress they make. We're not seeing them often enough, many hours as there are in a week, that doing things outside of session can move things forward. And then you have some clients who don't. And I think that you're right. So much of it is how much the therapist believes in the homework and how important they believe it is to them. And I know myself, we'll go through breathing exercises, but I have given that homework as, you know, check out some meditation. You know, you can do YouTube videos for it, some different things. Yours takes it a little bit further.
Yeah.
How did you learn meditation? I want you to fill everybody in, just if you don't mind, on kind of what your story is with regard to meditation.
Yeah, like I mentioned before, I kind of self-taught myself for that first stretch. I was stumbling through some YouTube videos, finding like Alan Watts philosophy talks online. I don't know if you know who that is. There's eventually finding like some meditation or like books in that space. There's Zen Mind, Beginner Mind by Shunryu Suzuki, and The Way of the Peaceful Warrior by Dan Millman were both pretty like pivotal books for me getting into this space. But at the end of the day, that only gets you so far. You need a teacher. You need someone that is giving you more concrete guidance and structure. If you look at how it's taught in more formal settings, there's always this like this need for a teacher. And I found my teachers, the first wave of my teachers was at Dharma Jewel Monastery in Chamblee in Georgia. And I just started going there. The strangest story of all time for me was I just randomly got an email one day that was like, free meditation class here. And it listed an address and it was the most like plain text email out there. And I was like, well, I like meditation. I'd like to learn more. If this is actually free, it's either going to be awesome or I'm going to get like abducted into a cult or something. I was not abducted into a cult. They were a bunch of really, really wonderful, kind monks and nuns teaching meditation in a very authentic setting. And they had a class that was literally structured as a semester-long thing, guiding you into the basics of this. And then next thing I knew is, oh, introduction to meditation, level two. Oh, now we're doing sutra study class and really like digging into the, I guess, like the deeper side of that all. When the pandemic hit, I kind of lost touch with that community a little bit as things happened, but found myself incorporated into another community. The San Francisco Zen Center started doing their like young urban Zen classes online. I have a teacher there that I actually still meet with on a regular basis to talk about my practice in meditation and what's going on just in life. And it's always a good way to keep growing and getting to go visit out there every once in a while and sit with the monks and other people in the Sangha, the community, has always been like a very warm experience for me.
So kind of a deep question and one I didn't get any pre-warning on. How has meditation changed who you are?
How has it changed who I am? My goodness, it's almost hard to define succinctly how it's changed. But, you know, I think having equanimity, having the ability to kind of calm myself down in moments of stress, to notice, it doesn't make stress go away. It's not like you don't still get stressed out or frustrated or all the normal human emotions that happen. But I think it's given me the mindset of being able to notice when those are happening. Notice that these are like impermanent states of heightened emotion and being able to kind of either sit with them or let them calm down. It's given me the ability to know my mind and myself more, and through that work through all the challenging moments that come with just being alive. It's been a very positive thing, having meditation. It's a practice that I try to do daily. And I mean, it's the sort of thing that I would recommend to everyone. And I think I would imagine most clinicians, most people working in the mental health space would also recommend to everyone.
Well, you know, and you just hit on something there that I think does tie what we do as clinicians together with what your purpose is, sitting in that space of how do we get people moving forward? How are we getting them some relief from their suffering? You said we can't make difficult things go away, but we can make our responses to them a little easier to tolerate. So if somebody wants to try this out with their client, what should they do?
Talk to me. That's the first step. I'm sure you have my email, but I'll say it out loud. So I'm Matt, M-A-T-T dot Golino, G-O-L-I-N-O, at zenvrapp.com. That's my email address. You can shoot me an email. I'd be happy to talk to you about getting ZenVR going in your practice. But a really cool thing that we're putting together to launch in January is for a small group of innovative therapists that really want to take their practice to the next level, we're offering the opportunity to trial ZenVR for 30 days. And gather some feedback, quantitative and qualitative, from your clients. We want to give people a chance to have as low risk as possible to just try this out and understand why this is a powerful system and see it in action. We're also going to be launching live meditation classes for our therapists that work with us to offer to all of their clients. So we're going to be in January, along with that new trial, launching live meditation classes with a meditation teacher on a weekly basis that you can invite all of your clients to.
And those live classes, I'm assuming, are virtual live classes using a headset or not?
Not using the headset right now because not everyone's going to have the headset. The goal is to create something that is available to everyone. So we'll be hosting those through our Discord. So there will be a community of other aspiring meditators looking to learn and come together in that place. Of course, therapists are also welcome to join. A lot of the therapists we work with are like, oh, I also use ZenVR because I myself want to skill up in meditation. So anyone and everyone is welcome to join those classes if you're part of our professional program as well.
Awesome. Awesome. That's great. Anything else you feel like we missed that needs to be put out there for clinicians?
Let's see. I guess something worth mentioning, you know, our system is research-backed, right? I mentioned this began as my master's thesis research, and we have published the results of that study. There's a peer-reviewed publication out there in the open. Anyone can look it up and see the design structure that went into the research that went into building ZenVR, the metrics that were captured. We looked at the cognitive effective mindfulness scale, the perceived stress scale, the mindful awareness scale, just seeing how people actually got benefit from this in a quantitative and qualitative way. It's out there. It's in the open. We're proud of the work that we've put into this. And it's the sort of thing that, you know, as clinicians go through using ZenVR, we want them to gather some of those same metrics as well. We want you to see this actually works, that this is not just like a woo-woo feel-good thing. It's like this is having a tangible impact on your clients and amplifying the work that you're already doing. You guys are on the front lines of the mental health epidemic, and you know, any way that we can help the helpers, we want to be able to do that. And that's kind of the core driving belief behind ZenVR.
Is there anybody that this would not be appropriate for?
It's a great question. Most meditation teachers out there will tell you that like not everybody should meditate. Like as much as like 99% of people probably should meditate, there are cases where it should be handled at least gently and guided into by a clinician, by a practitioner, by someone who is an expert in this space. We leave it to the therapists to, you know, decide which clients are a good fit for this program. You know, if a client has extreme trauma, maybe putting them in a state where they're sitting alone with their thoughts, even in a guided situation, maybe is not the first step for them. Maybe work with a therapist first before you get to a point of introducing ZenVR to them. But for most people, whether you have anxiety, depression, the more common disorders, that's a great candidate for people to use ZenVR with. I think it's really a much more specialized, like, this one client or this one person might not be the best fit for this right away.
Yeah, I know. I think that that's a really good point. I think that makes sense with trauma. This does put somebody into a space where they are sitting with their thoughts that they may not quite be ready to go there. The flip side of that, where I believe that this is so important, is that emotional regulation piece. For people working with couples, I work with couples a lot. You know, everybody says they want to work on communication, but people don't have a hard time communicating. They have a hard time regulating their emotions. From that standpoint, I could see this being really beneficial if you could get couples to use it. And I do want to point out that because there's a consumer piece, and I know it's not as in-depth and doesn't have the workbook with it, but it does leave an option for people, if they have the headset, to do some of the work at home as well, right?
Mm-hmm. It does. It does. Okay. Long-term vision for ZenVR, and we're not quite there yet. This is a product that's we're constantly growing and adding new to it, is we want therapists to be able to recommend the consumer product in addition to their regular, you know, offering. Maybe people start the curriculum with them and then, you know, they continue onwards and with that on their consumer side.
A lot of great information, Matt. Anything else you wanted to add?
A question we get asked often is why virtual reality? And I don't think we really talked about this specifically, but putting on the VR headset does a few different things. It creates kind of like an encapsulated space for meditating, for practicing. You're not seeing notifications on your phone. You don't have screens pinging you or flashing around you. All the stress and distractions of everyday life are kind of contained and pushed to the side for the time you're in the headset space. We talk about this like learning to ride a bike with training wheels on. You're going to take the training wheels off. You have to take these practices and apply them without the VR headset. We're not trying to get people to only relax when they have a headset on. When you're learning it, you want to be learning in the optimal setting, and not everyone has a corner of their house with a meditation cushion and a calm little Buddha statue and incense going where it's, you know, set up for meditating. Come to a virtual dojo, and here is the ideal environment. the other side of it too is, you know, like I mentioned, being able to do things to amplify the teaching that you can't even do in real life. So it's this combination of we create the ideal space and we create a class. It's all curated. It's all put together in a way to amplify the teaching and the results and the impact of that. And it's something that, you know, a YouTube video, an audio only meditation, even a phone app is never going to be able to accomplish. VR is just the next progression of how do we teach this skill in the best, most effective way possible.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, that it creates a setting that does force out any distractions, and it can keep your mind a lot more on track, which is one of the things that people struggle with whenever they are meditating, when they're learning the breathing, is the thoughts coming into their mind. And this really helps with that process quite a bit. Thank you, Matt. I so appreciate you being here and going over all of that with us. I think it's really a cool thing. So I appreciate you being here.
100%. Yeah, thank you for having me.
Music for this podcast has been provided by Audionautix.com. This podcast is purely informational and is not a replacement for supervision. Thank you for listening.